Welcome back again, my friends, to the 1955 Kalua Study Series. We are on Chapter 25, Attaining the Realization of Christ. Now, this chapter is a chapter of review, and he says these principles will be repeated many, many times. And the reason for that is we have built-in forgetters. The pressure of the world and whatnot makes us forget these principles. Sometimes we sit down, we have a lovely meditation, we experience the presence, we experience the Christ, the quickening spirit, and everything's wonderful. But a few hours later, we sit down and we can't seem to make contact no matter how hard we try. And it's because we've been living out here in a three-dimensional hologram for centuries. And here we're learning to live within, in the center of our being. So it needs to be repeated, it needs to be repetitive, and we need to review. Now, here he says, Joel says, every facet of the principles of the infinite way will be found in this series of classes, and the steps necessary to the development and unfoldment of the higher consciousness are also embodied in these classes. And I noticed that, and that's what got me so excited at the beginning of this, when I first read this book, this set of transcripts from the original tapes. It got me excited because I could see everything's here. Everything's here. If I can get this across to people, they won't need another book. They won't need me. They won't need Joel. They won't need Herb. They won't need Virginia. They won't need anybody. They can go the rest of the way. We can have people that have a conscious daily contact with the Christ, and that Christ can manifest and express through them. And so it was exciting to me to be a part of this and to attempt to show all of you that we can, everything you need is right here. So, he confirms that when he says that all the principles are here and everything you need to develop your consciousness. Now, the development of the higher consciousness can only be attained by an actual practice. And we know that. We can read these 40 transcripts here, 40 chapters, and continue down the road as nothing more than a human being. We know that. We've done that for years. And one of the things that is pointed out here so very clearly is that it's going to take an actual practice, and that there are some who will have to practice diligently until it is attained. Again, on the next page, he says, the consciousness accompanies this work wherever it goes. And that's a beautiful thing to know. The consciousness that spoke these words, or the consciousness out of which this message came forth, is now in your consciousness, one with your consciousness, because it accompanies this work wherever it goes. And so if you're sitting with the book open in your lap or next to you on the table, you can know that the consciousness accompanies this work. And the work that you're doing is the 12 times a day refusing to use words or thoughts, maybe nothing more than a statement, thy grace is my sufficiency, and resting back for 3 to 4 minutes until you feel a movement within. That's the work that you're doing. And the consciousness that expressed this message accompanies your work. And of course, it's Christ consciousness. But that should no longer be just an well, a theoretical idea or some absolute statement. It should be now beginning to be an actual experience. He says there are some who will have to practice the meditations and communion until the light itself breaks within them. So there are some of us that are going to take longer than others. Now, none of that's personal, so don't feel that if you're taking longer than someone else, that there's something wrong with you. That's not the truth. I was reading in the Altitude of Prayer that this can take 2 or 3 years, he said, of practice before the light breaks through. But when you look at it from the viewpoint of infinity, since you know you will never die, since you know you cannot die, or at least you believe it, you must look at it from that view, because how many times do you want to live out this human drama? I met someone, I fell in love, they died tragically, oh how horrible it is. I made a fortune, it was lost in an act of nature. I mean, how many times I had my whole life in front of me and I was stricken down with this disease. How many times do you want to live this human life? So what is 2 to 3 years of practice in infinity? It's nothing. It's nothing. Surely you can practice that long. So he says, most of us have risen a step above the intellectual knowledge of what is right or wrong, in that even before we attain an actual experience of Christ, we know there is such a thing to be attained. Something within us has already said there is something more than what the eye beholds. Something within us has already said to us there is something that the eye does not see, that the ear does not hear. And I suspect that for all of you who have not yet attained this, Christ, and the ability to attain it, make contact at will, there is something in you that's driving you on. Otherwise, you probably would get more interested in homemaking or career or something. But the fact that you persist shows that there is something in you that is letting you know, telling you that there's something more. There's something here. I know there is. So he says we have an inner conviction that's not based on knowledge, not based on the intellect, reasoning, or thinking. It's based on something called the still small voice, which assures us, even without plunging our hand into Jesus' side, we know there is such a thing as a resurrection. But now, the step beyond knowing this, having that hunch, that intuitive feeling it's true, is experiencing it. And so, we have come to this point of either receiving by grace an illumination that brings us into the awareness and experience of Christ, or we faithfully practice and plug away until that attainment is achieved. And that's where we are. And so he's reviewing here that he has taught us all, shared with us, spoken what was given to him within to give us, which is that we should practice 12 times a day making this contact. Everyone listening to these tapes is aware of the fact that within their own being, closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet, is Christ consciousness, a spiritual presence and a spiritual power, which can set a table in the wilderness and heal the sick, reform the sinner, raise the dead, and feed the hungry. All right, so he's bringing this home, that you can't be fooled. You know, well, you know that there is something within. Now, he talks about the difference between a natural healing, that is when nature just sort of heals something by itself, and a spiritual healing. And the difference is, if you've begun to make contact, well, you know what the difference is. I don't even have to tell you, because you know when it's a human thought or a physical sensation, and you know when Christ is on the scene, when you can feel that actual presence, that gentle presence within you. When you can feel that, You know the difference. So he says, you yourself can't be fooled. You know when the Spirit has touched you. Often you know the very second when the contact was made. You feel the healing in some way that a natural healing can never reveal. Everyone in this room knows that there is an invisible presence and an invisible power here with us, and that it is located within you and within me. Now, our lives in the spiritual path are lived by the grace of this invisible presence and power. So you and I are no longer looking to person or circumstance, condition, or thing. We're accepting that we are accepting it through whatever avenue, means, or channel the Spirit may provide. But we are looking to the source, which is the kingdom of God, the invisible presence and power within ourselves. And I may note there that the invisible presence, he says, is the kingdom of God. So if you're touching this presence, you're feeling this presence, you're feeling the kingdom of God. The kingdom, or the realm where God is within this invisible presence. This invisible presence is synonymous with the kingdom. They are one and the same. Because this invisible presence is one with God, then that must be the realm where God is, because of that oneness. So the realm where God is, the invisible kingdom, is this invisible presence. Now he asks you to picture the room with him coming into it in the morning. He knows there's going to be classes there later. And so he sits down in silence and quietness until that invisible presence and power announces itself in some way and lets him know that he is not alone in this room. So you see, he's practicing what he's preaching, isn't he? He's not so far gone down the road into the absolute that he's the walking presence. No, it's 1955, 9 years before his passing, and he's still going into the room and sitting down to make the contact. So that's why he's telling you to go and do likewise, because that's what works for him. Now, the moment I attain that inner realization of the presence, he says, from that moment on, if a headache comes into this room, it should be dispelled, dissolved. It should be dispelled by reason of the realization of the activity of Christ. Remember, the activity of the Christ was omnipresent, but it would have been of no avail because of a lack of realization. Now, that brings up two things for me. Number one, people misquote the infinite way all the time, and they say that the world mind is not power. Or they say, this world is not power. Or politicians are not power. Or disease is not power. All of that is not the truth. That's a half statement. And really, you must drill that into your consciousness so you never forget it. That's why he says, remember. It is not true that the world mind is not power. The world mind is power, and it will kill you and those you love. And you can see it operating in the world. So that's not a true statement. The world mind is power. Unless one somewhere has a realization of the activity of Christ, unless one has the actual realization of omnipresence, then, in the presence of that realization, then world mind is not power. There must be a Christ to dispel the appearance of power, but it can't be a statement of truth or something you've memorized. It must be the actual Christ. And so when you make your contact and you feel that presence, then in the presence of that presence, world mind is not power. Politicians are not power. Disease is not power. So always, always remember that. And if you hear somebody say, or if you see somebody write on one of the message boards online, world mind is not power, or, well, this flu of which I'm displaying the symptoms is not really a power, correct it in your mind. I mean, correct it within your consciousness. Say to yourself, that's a half-truth. You don't have to tell them because they're probably not asking. But quietly within yourself, you can say, no, that's a half-truth. That's a half-truth. That flu is power, except in the presence, in the actual realization of Christ. In the presence of that Christ, it's not power. So now let me make the contact. And for you there that are unable to make it, because you've come down with the symptoms, let me make it for you too. In the presence of this Christ, world mind is not power. In the presence of this Christ, germs are not power. In the presence of this Christ, only Christ is power. And then make your contact so that the presence really will be present. And in the presence of that presence, well, he says it will be dispelled or dissolved. It should be dispelled by reason of the realization of the activity of the Christ. And that's why he says in another book, realization is demonstration. And so, you never have to go very far to find out how you're doing. You look at the situation in your life, you look at your life, you can ask yourself, am I demonstrating the activity of the Christ? Or am I just living a human life again? If there is no demonstration, do not fool yourself. You haven't yet had realization. Because realization is demonstration. And so your job is not to have a demonstration. Remember, we started way back in the first few chapters. The only demonstration we ever have to make is the presence of Christ. And let the presence demonstrate itself. So if you have the realization, the deep realization of the Christ, then demonstration will follow. But if there is no demonstration, do not fool yourself. You haven't yet had realization. Keep meditating, no matter how long it takes. And here he says, it is the realization that brings it into active manifestation. Now that's what we want, isn't it? We don't want just a bunch of theories in the mind or a sweet little love in the heart, a sentimental feeling in the heart about Christ. No, we want the actual realization and the demonstration, or we want the actual realization that results in active manifestation. As within, so without. Never forget that this Christ is universal presence and power, even in hell, even in the valley of the shadow of death. But this Christ, this transcendental presence and power, is only available to us in proportion to a conscious realization of it. Now that's what we just said. So you must find out if you don't have active manifestation, then you must find out what is realization. And that's what he says. The next step is the realization of it. So in this review so far, he's saying all of us have a hunch, an intuitive feeling that there is a Christ within. We may have even had a glimpse of it. But now, we must go further. We must practice that 12 times a day, listening for 3 to 4 minutes, until we can have the inner realization at will. This then will result in a transformation. First within, because we'll no longer be on the basis of belief or theory or thought. We'll be on the basis of realization of Christ. And then, out here, as an active manifestation of that Christ presence. So the next step is realization. To function in the fourth dimension, you should be functioning there in your own life in order to be able to help others to function there in theirs. To function in the fourth dimension means to have available to you the Christ, just as you can count how many dollars you have. So you should be able to say, I still have something greater than all of these, and know what it is by realization. Not just repeating the words to yourself, a sort of whistling in the dark. It's time to really have the realization of this. We've all been brought to this consciousness that uttered this message so that we can come into the actual realization and then the act of manifestation. So every day, many times a day, all those who are a part of this work, and that's us, whether you're in this room, he says, or part of this tape work, we must realize this truth. It isn't sufficient to be Joel or Bill or Mary unless you can bring into active expression this invisible center of your being. Until you can bring yourself to that point where it speaks to you, it voices itself within you, or utters itself, or reveals itself in some way, then you are not yet functioning in the fourth dimension. And so you must stand still until it comes. It's a strange thing, but you're intensely active 12 or more times a day, and yet you are learning to stand still throughout your day. Strange, isn't it? You're intensely active, and yet you're standing still. Now, the Christ, the fourth dimension of life, the kingdom of God, is an area of your own consciousness. And so he says again, you must get up before the rest of the family is up, or in the middle of the night, and you must sit down and realize, I know there's an outer me sitting here, so and so and so and so. But I also know there is an inner me. I also know there is a divine presence. I know the whole power and presence of God is right here where I am. I know that the kingdom of God is within my own being, and I know that I must be still enough and silent enough to let it come forth into expression. And then you wait. You wait those 3 to 4 minutes, over and over and over, until it happens. And then when it happens, it's going to intensify even more, but he'll tell you about that. Now, if you're into this second step, the step of realization, this is what you can look for. Remember, there's two parts, the inner realization and then the outer act of manifestation. They go together. Christ is this. So, this is what you can look for. As the realization deepens within you, you gradually find dependence on persons, circumstances, conditions, things, dropping away and dropping away and dropping away until, regardless of what your need may be, there is a depth of consciousness within you that will reveal it. You see? Do we see now that Joel wasn't a healer? You see that Joel was not a healer. He was a witness. He knew how to wait upon the Lord, like he's teaching us. And then the presence, that inner Christ, that presence is what did all the work. Now let's just read this. It's kind of long. It's 2 paragraphs. You see, this spiritual consciousness has depth. If you touch it lightly on the surface, you can very easily overcome colds or flu, a little lack or limitation or lonesomeness. But you'd have to go far deeper than that to work out your problem of supply. What I mean is the realization of omnipresence of infinite supply. You would have to go deeper than on the surface. In other words, you can... Oh, here's what he's saying, and I've thought a lot about this. In the beginning, you make that contact, and some problem dissolves, problem of health or relationships or supply. And it's great. It's wonderful. For a while, you're on cloud number 9. You're flying high, and then boom, you're back down in the valley again. After a while, you say to yourself, Why do I have to keep making this demonstration of supply over and over and over again? Yes, I know it works, but why do I have to keep doing this? And it drives you back to the books, and it drives you back to the tapes. And better than both of those, it drives you back within yourself until you go deeper and deeper and deeper and come to that place where Joel came to when he said, I realize that I am my supply. I realize that God's love will pay all my bills. Now, he had the actual realization of that, which brought it into active manifestation, and he never had a problem with supply again for the rest of his life. All right? That's what he means. You have to go deeper. Yes, you can touch this on the surface. You can bring a bucket to the Pacific Ocean, or to that lake, or to the Atlantic. You can bring a bucket, or you can bring a pool, or you can bring an infinite storehouse. So you can touch this on the surface and for the most part still be a human being making demonstration after demonstration as a metaphysician. Or you can be that mystic that dives so deep that you lose yourself and Christ liveth. And then there are no more demonstrations to make. The Christ is living itself, and it includes infinite supply, omnipresent companionship, perfect life and health. So the same way as to overcome the deeper problems of life, you have to go far deeper than the surface of this consciousness. It is, as it has been said in one of the ancient wisdoms, the best pearls are the deepest down in the sea. And so it is in spiritual wisdom and illumination. Only those capable of going deeper and deeper and deeper into their own being achieve the fuller measures of Christhood. So, you're free to touch just the edge of the robe, or you're free to go as deep as Joel, or even Jesus did. It's all determined by the degree of your dedication. Practice going deeper, and more fully surrender yourself, so that Christ may live your life. And he says, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the master had to reach way down to the very, very bottom of the ocean to bring forth the ability to be resurrected and to make the ascension, and I have no doubt that he did. We look to each other for help in bringing forth the deeper manifestations or evidences of the Spirit, and we have that right. Not that we're looking to each other as persons. We're looking to the degree of realized Christ that each other has. And sometimes where two or more are gathered together, there is a greater evidence of that Spirit. When you come into these meetings, you find a deeper evidence and realization of the Christ. And I've found that to be true, and I have pretty good meditations, but I've found that to be true on Wednesday evenings when I meditate, and we're all meditating. I feel a depth that I don't normally feel. So, something I've noticed, I was hoping when we had the Kailua list online that people would be posting some of the difficulties they had or some of the successes they had, or maybe they would be posting asking for help for, as he says here, because we have a right to ask for help, so that others can lift us up, and together we can have a depth that we don't have alone all the time. But it didn't evolve into that. It evolved into just one person, two, three, four, making one statement once in a while. And for the most part, it was just quiet, and if anyone's having difficulties, they're not coming forward with them, they're keeping it to themselves. Some people shared a little bit of their successes, but for the most part, I have no idea if anybody's having success because they kept it to themselves. So it seemed like it just wasn't being of use, and so I closed it down. But I still feel that we need to ask each other, as he says here, we have a right to ask each other for help. If you're having difficulty, for God's sake, don't run off by yourself and isolate and think you're no good and you'll never get this. Write to the other members of this group who are hearing these talks, studying this study series, and ask for help until you can attain this all on your own. Well, I can't say any more than that. That's said, and if you don't do it, well, you don't do it. All right, so he says, this is repetition, but you see the purpose of it. All of this is an enrichment of consciousness and making it possible for us to go deeper. But the experience itself is still an individual one. And that's right, we come together. Someday we'll have classes together. When we do, we'll have very deep meditations. And yet, the experience of Christ will still be an individual one. If you are not practicing in your own home, if you're not doing these 12 times a day, or as many as you reasonably can, it's as if you're walking around the earth just as your own self, as a human, rather than developing a consciousness of another presence and power within, which will never leave you nor forsake you. And that, you see, has to be an individual experience. So the question is, now or later? He says it has to begin in the morning, and I find that's very true. Otherwise, you rush out the door, and it's just you. When I rush out the door, and the only thing I'm carrying with me is my intellect and my emotions and my body, I don't like that at all. Sometimes I have to do it. There's an emergency. I get up. I open my eyes. I'm ready to sit down to have my meditation, and the phone rings, and I have to be somewhere right now. So it happens. But when I'm driving there, I'm trying to get still enough to make that contact on the way, because you don't have to be sitting in a certain chair. But the point that I'm making is this must begin in the morning, first thing, so that what you bring with you is the Christ, instead of just a body and some emotions and a mind. Furthermore, he says it isn't sufficient to accomplish this in the morning and let it go for the rest of the day. He's hammering it home 12 times a day, 12 times. And in the altitude of prayer I just read, he said this will increase to 20 to 30 times a day. This will increase to where we're doing this all the time, actually. You'll be a walking state of receptivity. You will be the mind that was in Christ Jesus. You will be a walking transparency for God to impart to this world itself, its love, its wisdom, its blessing, its loaves and fishes. Now, he tells you why. Because there's a mental hypnotism going on all over the world. You don't hear it, but it's being voiced by everybody that's experiencing fear. I suspect many of you feel it right now with these elections and doomsday predictions that the economy is going to fall flat and we're going to have a major depression and we're going to go back to the 1930s. Well, if you haven't felt it, I've felt it, and I've had to shake some of it off in meditations. I'm in a real small town, and yet I travel around and go to this store and that store and the post office and here and there, and I hear people discussing this. You've got to practice this several times a day, or the wave of mental hypnotism will knock you over, and then you'll be sitting there with all the fear and saying, where is God? I'm experiencing this sense of separation, of futility, and I think it's my fault. But it's not. It's impersonal. It's not that you're a poor student. It's just you didn't take enough times. So he says it's only our fault in that we have not renewed our conscious relationship with that Christ, conscious realization of that Christ. If we renewed it a dozen times a day, then these mesmeric influences would not touch us. You'd have to so establish yourself in spiritual wisdom and Christhood that you could not be moved by appearances. So that's what happens. We practice this 12 times a day, and we can go out among the people who aren't and get bombarded with all this stuff, and it won't touch us. It bounces off. But each one of us has to maintain that for ourselves. Does the time ever come when we can relax from that? And the answer is no. We have to intensify it. See, you thought you were going to start this 12 times a day and then later on relax, huh? Not to be. Not for those of us on this path. That 12 times a day is going to become 20 and then 30 and then continuous to where with Paul you will be praying without ceasing. It should eventually be that in groups like this, that within 1 or 2 or 3 months, that's 90 days, I know we've been doing this longer than that, there shouldn't really be a serious problem in the whole experience of any one of us. I mean a problem of their own being. That doesn't mean that all their family problems will be solved, because that involves the demonstration of other people. But so far as problems which concern our own being, a month or two or three of this kind of work, dedicated only to the realization of the Christ, should result in every one of us being 92, 95, 98, 99% free of the thoughts and things of this world, or all of which would be a good demonstration. And it can be. Now, as a second one, a third one, a fourth one, and a fifth one begin to attain this conscious freedom in Christ, it should benefit all of us. Hopefully all of us here in this class are beginning to experience freedom in some measure. Let's roll the clock back, way back, I don't know how many months it's been, 6, 7, 8, when we first started this. Surely you're experiencing more freedom than when you started. And as more of us experience more freedom, go deeper and plunge deeper into this ocean of Christ, of God within us, more and more of us should attain an even greater measure of freedom. As this Christ becomes realized experience, we not only are meeting our own headaches, but soon we'll be meeting the headaches of friends, relatives, neighbors, enemies. The introduction of the transcendental thing called Christ alone will meet the problems of the world. But it must be a spiritual experience, not a thought. And he goes into organization cannot be any good unless, well, no organizational activity can ever be better than the mind that at the moment is ruling it. And nothing can change that except the activity of the Christ. So if you have an organization such as the United Nations, the League of Nations, whatever, if that which is animating those people is the mind of Christ, the mind that was in Christ Jesus, then great change can come about. But if there are a bunch of human beings sitting in physical bodies having intellectual discussions, it's hopeless. Nothing will change. And any change that they do bring about is temporary. Ah, but now, what about you and I having these meditations 12 times a day? What if we're making this contact and releasing it out into the world? Suppose one person there is so fed up and frustrated that they go back to their hotel room and have a prayer, and they feel something because of what we've released into the world. Then they can take that back into the meeting and have that guide their decision, and change can be made without their even knowing that it was our little group that brought it about. Or check that, it was the consciousness flowing through our little group that brought it about. Okay? So, you can't attain anything by having the desire to be a good person or living by the Ten Commandments or even the Sermon on the Mount. The only way something can happen, the only way a change can take place, is by the introduction into your consciousness of the Christ. Again and again and again, Joel has made it abundantly clear. Joel did not create the infinite way. Joel did not push the infinite way around the world. Joel did not write these books. Joel did not do healing. Little Joel had discovered one great secret. The fact that he could realize his nothingness, shut up, listen, be attentive, and that Christ would pour through. Only an activity of the Christ realized is the important word. You must feel. It must be an actual realization, not a thought or a hopeful desire. Only the activity of Christ realized can bring forth a life of impersonal devotion, not to people, but to the principle. Now, when you have an active practice or a student body, you get to see many, many people struggling to be better humans. Oh, I wish I could be better. I wish I could be less critical. I wish I could be more positive. I wish I could be happier. And you get to see how fruitless all their efforts are until that invisible thing touches them. Then you will know why it is important to practice this 12 times a day for 1 or 2 or 3 years until it is achieved. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But quoting that won't do it. It has to be a realization, an achievement of it that does it. And it isn't easy, he says. The way is straight and narrow, and few there be that enter. Now he talks about working with people that are mourning, that are grieving. And he says, the least message, the smallest message, the most seemingly innoxious message seems to bring healing, comforting, salvation, not because of the combination of words, but because of that invisible something that we call the Christ. You see, there it is again. Everything he does, says, is animated, motivated. Well, he's a walking state of transparency, isn't he, for this Christ to flow. And so he's telling us, my friends, my brothers and sisters, here's how I did it. This is what you must do. It isn't easy. It will take a while. It will require work. Sometimes you won't want to keep going. You can ask others that are doing this for help. But keep going. When you make that contact, when you achieve a realization of Christ, then it will come into active manifestation, and you will never be satisfied with anything less again. So our work, he says, from this point on, I mean from the point of this Kailua study series, is the actual realization of the Christ. We have enough of the letter of truth. Now we must have the realization. Not only in this room, but all those that are studying this. We must constitute themselves committees of one. First of all, for their own salvation, and secondly, for the benefit of families, communities, and ultimately the world itself. When there is an activity of the Christ in human consciousness, men will be governed by the activity of the Christ. All right. It is only as spiritual nature enters the picture, the actual attainment and realization of the Christ. As we go into meditation, please remember, there must be the realization that there are two. There's the human and there's the Christ. And this won't make duality because it really won't be two. It will be that we have attained the realization of our inner self, our Christ self, our inner being. And it still will be one. I and the Father are one. Even with that word "and" in there, it is still only one. And so when we achieve the realization of this inner presence, there won't be two of us here, there will be only one. But there will be the one now with the attainment of the realization of his actual fourth dimension of life. Now, what that means is, You start out in your chair feeling a sense of separation from this Christ within you. You sit down into meditation. You remember, say, Thy grace is my sufficiency in all things. You are quiet. You are still. And suddenly there's a feeling of a presence. You still feel yourself, but you feel this presence too. And the presence flows in, through, and around you. And suddenly, for a moment, you disappear. And there's only that presence. And that presence you have invited to flow. In any and every direction it will. And that presence you recognize to be yourself within, an infinite self within. You stay there for a while, you feel it, you commune with yourself, you commune with the Christ, and then you open your eyes. For a while, that Christ may move you around, may impart thoughts to you, may tell you, go here, do that, say this, write this. But after a while, it wears off, and you're back to being your human self. And yet you know that there's this Christ self within. So see, in that sense, there's a two. But in reality, you know it's a one. So you go to work again. You have another meditation. Each time, you're coming to see more and more clearly that Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth as me. Christ liveth, period. And so it's a progression. So you don't have to walk around repeating the absolute if you're not feeling it. The important point in all this work is to be honest with yourself. If you're feeling two today, well then feel two. It's okay. I'm here, but Christ liveth in me, or Christ liveth through me. There's still a me, but there's a Christ too. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. Don't pretend. If you're feeling oneness, and you're standing as a witness, and Christ is moving your lips, imparting its thoughts into your mind, moving your hand to write a letter, you're still a witness. There's a witness and there's Christ, and that's okay. That's where you are. That's where you should be. Don't pretend. If, on the other hand, your meditation was so powerful that this Christ is standing where you are, and you seem to have lost yourself as you experience your infinite self, then there is one. And you, for that moment in time, not moment in time, for that moment in eternity, are experiencing your eternal, immortal self. And that's fine. Be where you are. Be honest. All right, so here we are, most of the time, still experiencing two. And that's fine, that's good. The point is that we are dedicated enough to have meditations 12 times a day to make the contact with the Christ, the Self, the Father within, the Kingdom. And we are going to practice until we no longer have a belief or a theory or an intuitive hunch that there is this Christ. We are going to practice until we make contact with it. And it slowly, slowly begins to live through, in, and as us. Or as Joel said, for a while it will walk with us. And then it will walk beside us. And then in our meditation, as we make the contact, it will walk within us. There will still be an us and an it for a while. And then it will live as us. Okay? Now, I haven't attained that place where it lives as me 24/7. Would that I could, then I could dissolve into the invisible. But that hasn't happened. I'm still here. I still have, just like Joel did in 1955, he would go into the room in the morning before the class, before this very class that we've had today, and he would make contact with it. But during the class, when the meditation was stronger, perhaps because of everyone gathered there, two or more, He would open his mouth and it would speak as him. You see? So now if that's good enough for him, it's darn well good enough for me. I'm not going to be disappointed if Christ isn't living here all the time. I am, however, going to determine to practice this 12, 20, 30 times a day, making this contact with the Christ of my being, so that it may begin to come into active manifestation as my experience. And I hope you all join me and do the same. God bless you, and we have 15 chapters left, and then the only thing that remains is to practice, practice, practice. I hope I get to see you, and I hope I can put on a class somewhere after we've been doing this for a year. Imagine the wonderful meditations we'll have just for the joy of being together. Okay, until then, until next talk, God bless you, I love you, and thank you.